Hi, I'm Eric J. Lawrence. We recently did a taping of the Guest DJ Project in front of a live audience at the LA Podcast Fest, featuring Georgia Hardstark and Karen Kilgariff, the hosts of the wildly popular comedy podcast, My Favorite Murder. They talked about their favorite murder-related songs, plus a couple personal favorites. So enjoy this special extended edition of the show, and note, there is some colorful language.
Welcome, ladies.
Hi, thanks, Eric.
Hi.
You know, this is a little bit different for us to sort of have kind of these themed songs. Was it difficult for you guys to pick five murder-related songs?
Incredibly. I was going to say no.
Yeah, I know. I'm being honest. Yes.
Called me out as a liar.
I think for me, I didn't want to do the standard, almost like, the first thing I thought in my head when you think of murder songs is like, it's almost like a country ballad of a man explaining why he simply had to kill the love of his life. And by the end, you almost start empathizing with him of like, yeah, it must be really hard for you, the fact that you had to lay her body down and put it in the ground or whatever. Right. So I think we were trying to go a little different than that. But it's always hard to get a kind of a consensus, because then once we started making a list, I think our original list had 30 songs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think we were like, well, there's some obvious ones that we have to do that are like a couple on this list. And then there's some that you can interpret it or that it's like kind of based on murder, but, you know, not if you really think about it. It's cerebral, I feel like.
I mean, I think we're very high-minded in this. In our list, you're going to be like, what college did they go to?
And the answer is none.
Well, okay, on that note then, what is the first song you've got for us?
Well, this one's an obvious one. I feel like, you know, when I was 13 and heard this song, I was like, this is the best music I've ever heard in my life. And now it's, you know, now it's not. now it's just fun.
Well, now it's kind of classic.
It's classic and fun and... it's so basic, and when I read the lyrics for the first time before we did this, I was like, oh, he's like sad a girl broke up with him and talking about killing him, but he's not. This is Die Die My Darling by Misfits.
So
that's only the third time that song's been played in this ballroom. So,
and the other two times it was by a ghost.
That's ghost band.
Little known.
Sorry, this is super lame of me, but as I was listening to that, are the Misfits Danzig's band?
Yeah.
Before he became Danzig?
Yeah. Okay. And like, once you've seen Danzig carry a box of kitty litter, like there's a paparazzi-ish, not paparazzi, there's like some fan photo when they saw Glenn Danzig walking out of the grocery store and he's holding a tub of kitty litter as an adult. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
That's so disappointing.
Yeah.
But also like, they're just like us, stars, you know?
At the end of the day?
At the end of the day. Mm-hmm. We all carry kitty litter.
Yeah, we got to get our kitty litter someplace.
You have to get it. You're not going to send your assistant, not if you're Danzig.
Is there not celebrity kitty litter delivery?
There is nowadays.
Someone start an app because Danzig needs it bad. He can't afford to have another picture taken at Petco.
Well, that was the Misfits with Die, Die, My Darling. It was originally from 1984, and in fact, appropriately enough, a posthumous single. The band had broken up by that point.
Wow.
What is the next track you got for us?
Well, maybe we should go classic, because this is the one we immediately agreed on. Almost felt like we were obligated to play. And I think it's the obvious one, which is Talking Heads' Psycho Killer. But the best possible version of obvious.
Yeah.
Because the first time I heard this song, I almost had a nervous breakdown.
Really?
It scared the shit out of me. I was like 13.
Oh my God. Like, do you feel it in your, like, that, like, 13-year-old hormonal, like, oh my God, this is sexy kind of a thing?
It's like the way he sings, it's like he's the psycho killer.
Psycho killer.
Run, run, run. I just like the idea that this band in the early 80s or maybe late 70s?
This is from their debut album called Talking Head 77, which was from 1977.
They were just this. I was at the age where this band was the band my friends' cool older brothers were into. So I was not allowed to like them first. And just conceptually, it seemed wrong. And then also, they were singing songs like this, where it's like, what are the... Everybody else is singing about love or breaking up, and you're singing about that you are killing people and there's something wrong, but you're also speaking French, which is totally appealed to me.
Well, what I knew about Talking Heads, like in the late 80s, was that my mom, who just has no musical taste at all, had like a late Talking Heads, like jazzy cassette. So I was like, oh, that's parent music and like whatever the fuck. And like they're on VH1, like they with like really weird fucking music videos. Yeah. And then I heard this song and a couple others and I was like, oh, my mom accidentally had that cassette. There's no reason. She was not cool.
Would you say that your parents' music collection was an influence in your own musical taste?
Absolutely not.
I mean, well, I think my mom only liked Carole King. I think she was strictly Carole King. And my dad was super into classical music. So then I was like, when I started having my own opinion about music, I thought I was the first and only person to like Depeche Mode. I thought I was the only person that understood the lyrics. And I more than once put People Are People on in the car and told my dad, crying, that he had to listen to the lyrics. And he was like, I get it, be nice to people. But I was like, there's a message, you don't understand.
I did that with Dead Kennedys. I put it on in the car with my dad, and I'm like, remember, tell me about what it was like to have Reagan. You know, I like thought he would get it. And he was just, he has so much anxiety that it was like so loud for him. But my parents didn't listen to music. My mom would sing songs from Porgy and Bess while she was cooking. And that was like it.
That's so inappropriate.
I know. So when I actually finally started getting records when I was like 13 and I was like, I'm so cool. I had to play them on my childhood Fisher-Price record player because we had no way of playing music.
Yeah.
As a kid. It wasn't until my brother started getting into like Primus and Gwar and Ween, which I love looking back.
Just one name bands.
Yeah, that are real weird. Boys. That was my biggest music influence is my brother, not my parents.
Fair enough.
You were super into Gwar.
I remember him coming home. He's like this nerdy 14-year-old like Jewish kid. Biggest geek, and he'd come home from Gwar concerts like covered in fake blood. Asher, what's up?
That's pretty awesome. Amazing.
Well, what's the next killer song you have
for
us?
Which one do you want to do, Karen?
Nico Case is my hero, and she just writes the most amazing songs anyway. I feel like she's so... I know that like she's a musician's musician, and everybody does love and respect her, but I just feel like it should be much more prominent and on a daily basis because the songs she writes are humongous and then the lyrics are amazing. Like every direction she's doing it perfectly and then she's singing.
Well, I was reading the lyrics and like you can interpret it as murder. So like what about this made you think of murder?
Well, because she's basically saying like she's talking about basically bodies being found on the side of the road. Uh-huh. She's from the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, girl.
So I think it's, I think it's, in my interpretation, it's just that thing of like the, something happens to women and they just kind of get like, are gotten rid of. And then they're just laying around by the side of the road is kind of the interpretation. She says something about driving by a cemetery and then there's bodies everywhere. And I can't tell if she's talking to the victim or the murderer, but.
Let's point out the song is called Deep Red Bells from Nico Case.
Led you to this hiding place. Whose lightning thread spun silver tones. Red bells beckon you to ride. A handprint on the driver's side. It looks a lot like engine oil. Tastes like being poor and small and popsicles.
love about her is, like, it's her voice, too. It sounds like she sounds so huge, and she's this tiny woman. But, like, when she sings those, it's, like, fills the entire room. It's the coolest thing. And it feels like all of her music belongs everywhere. Like, it's perfect for this room.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Halfway through, or maybe a little further through, it changes, and it becomes one of those, like, country ballads I was talking about. It kind of turns stylistically into a song like that, which to me is her going, like, yeah, this is what these songs usually sound like.
Well, moving on then to the next killer song.
So, actually, this is a good segue, because this is totally one of those murder ballad dude things. But it's so good, and this whole album is fucking incredible. It's Blitz and Trapper from their album Fur, and it's like you need a. It's one of those albums where you want to listen to it from start to finish, because it almost tells this story, and every song blends into each other, and it's so beautiful. But this is one of those murdery ballads where you're like, oh, this guy kind of sucks, and he's a total dick, but like, this is a beautiful song, and hopefully Blitz and Trapper doesn't kill people in real life. So this is Blitz and Trapper, Black River Killer.
It was just a little while past the Sunset Strip that found the girl's body in an open pit. Her mouth was sewn shut, but her eyes were still wide, gazing through the fog to the other side. They booked me on a whim and threw me deep in jail with no bail, sitting silent on a rusted pail. Just gazing at the marks on the opposite wall, remembering the music of my lover's call, yeah. So you make no mistake, I know just what it takes to pull a man's soul back from heaven's gates. I've been wandering in the dark about it long and thin, but they say it's never too late to start again. Oh, when, oh, when will the spirit come a calling from the soul to sin?
Well, now, Blitz and Trapper are also from the Pacific Northwest. They're from Portland. And you guys sort of flinched when the topic of Pacific Northwest came up earlier. What is it about the Pacific Northwest?
I don't think we're flinching as much as, you know, that's where all the killings take place, apparently, and where all the killers either move to or are from. It's so crazy. There's such a predominance, is that the right word, of serial killers up there and stories. And, like, the first thing I think of course, is the Green River Killer, which was just never stopped. He murdered for years and years. It's insane.
Well, it's such a spooky place too, because it's, you know, so overcast and foggy and kind of creepy and swampy and rivery, and a lot of good places to hide bodies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Lots of woods. The woods come right up to the city. Like in Portland, they just come right down into, like, they're invading the city.
It's almost like it's such a depressing place because of the weather that it's like, well, yeah, you can understand. No, not. You can understand how one would die.
One would be led down the stony path.
Yeah.
To being a killer.
That.
Or just plain die? Is that what you were saying?
No, the other one. not die.
And yet, lots of great music.
So much great
music. Yeah, maybe in the same vein where it's like, it just, like, that song is so spooky, and it kind of, you can absolutely see it coming from a place like Portland.
So what is the final murder-related song that you've got for us?
This is another one, like Psycho Killer, where I feel like it was like, it's obvious, although it's interpretive.
You should teach a class.
Interpretive dancing?
Yes.
Interpretive obvious dancing.
But also, we just wanted to pick a really good song that's fun to listen to. And so it's Roberta Flack, Killing Me Softly.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song. Thank you.
that's another one of those things where it's like her voice, it like it I just realized it's the reason I can't ever explain to people, but I hate doing karaoke. And people are always like, and you sing, and you like singing, and you're trying to get attention or whatever. And it's because when I sing, I want to sound like Roberta Flack. I want that to come out of my mouth. And I know that's absolutely not what's happening. So it's just like, let someone who's closer to that, because that, when someone has that kind of like tone and depth of feeling, and it's just like, that's what it is. Like, that's what it's supposed to be. And that's, I mean, how old is that record? And it's just like, I didn't want to turn it off.
Plus the lyrics, they're beautiful and poetic and everything, but you fucking understand exactly, you know, they're so simple, which I mean in a way that I would never think of them. Not right. that's, but they're so gorgeous in the way that you've totally seen someone that you, or, you know, fell in love with immediately and had that feeling about. And
that they're killing you.
They're killing
you. With their mere existence.
Like, can you not?
Could you stop it?
Don't.
Turn that song off.
All right. Well, we've ventured forth on our favorite murder songs. Let us take it back to sort of what we normally do on the Guest DJ Project and invite you guys to pick just a personal song that is meaningful to you in your life. And Georgia, you picked a song from Aquaville River, the track Down, Down the Deep River.
Yeah. Well, I kind of stuck with the murder theme, even though I don't know if it's true. But in my mind, and I immediately thought this the first time I heard it when my husband played it for me, I was like, this is about a murder that happened when he was a kid. And the Will from the band, who's like the singer-songwriter, won't explain what his songs are about. So they're open in interpretation, which I love. And when I told my husband immediately, like, well, this is clearly about, you know, like a Jacob Wetterling style murder kidnapping from the 80s. Oh. He was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because he's not into true crime. But I was like, trust me, this is what it's about.
Vince is like, I thought it was about river rafting. I thought it was a really lovely song.
And it could be.
It could be.
But this song hurts me in the heart in a way that I haven't felt in a long time. You know, when you're in your early 20s and music means so much to me in high school, and it's just like hits you hard, and like Depeche Mode, you're the only person who's ever understood right. how this feels. This song does this to me, which is so rare, and I also think it's about his childhood friend getting murdered. Listen, I made that up.
You get to.
But it reminds me, even though it's a new song, it reminds me of when I was a kid in the 80s and missing children on milk cartons and unsolved mysteries and all these, like, I thought everyone was getting kidnapped all the time. And this just reminds me of that. So I wish if Will could email me and let me know if I'm right, so I could let my husband know that I'm always right, that would be great. So here, this is Down the Deep River. Right in the heart.
When you listen to a song like that, are you just sitting there and contemplating it? What, or are you dancing around? What's your way of enjoying that music?
Well, here's my problem that has happened more and more when the older I've gotten is that I can't listen to music without paying attention to exactly everything that's going on. I can't just like have music on in the background because I'm like listening to the lyrics and you know, thinking about what it said or listening to the drums and if I could learn how to play that and you know, that stuff's because of ADD again. So I have to listen to podcasts or audiobooks because I just can't be in my car listening to fucking the radio. So then I listen to stuff like this.
Why? Did you get too deep into it, like you're saying?
Yeah. I just either I'll get too much in my head thinking, or I'll interpret the lyrics too much. I just can't ignore it. And it's distracting to me. So if I'm listening to a book, and that's where I am, and I'm there, and my brain isn't thinking about all the horrible car accidents I could get into immediately. It's real fun. So that song is one of the ones that I like listening to because it tells a story and I can interpret it the way I want to interpret it. You know what I'm saying?
It's so funny because it has such a jangly, like, 80s pop feel. Right? Like, I almost... That keyboard part almost reminded me of like Aha or something.
Yeah.
But then it's like, but then you're like, but I'm pretty sure it's about murder. But
right.
It's like, da na na na, da na na na.
And it's also Austin hipsters who are writing it.
Yeah.
So, but it's also a little.
Yeah.
It's fun shit, man.
Levels.
It's got it.
Well, so Karen, what is your personal pick for today?
My personal pick, I went with the album that I have been listening to for, I would say, like 6 months straight, and I can't stop listening to it. And it's Rihanna's album, Anti, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. But it is such a good album. Again, it's my thing of why isn't everyone talking about this? It's just so good. Look
and listen.
Listen.
I love that we're ending on this, by the way.
Well, and also because I was thinking about it, like, you know, you want to pick a song that's representative of you,
yeah,
and da-da-da, and shows all your range and what tastes and whatever. But at the end of the day, this is the song that if I'm going to, like, put in, like, my headphones and listen to something, just the way this album is produced, her singing is amazing. The songwriting is amazing. Like, the message is amazing.
Yeah, I ain't trying to think about it, no. Yeah, I said it, boy, get up beside it. I want you to homicide it. Going so wet, I want you to pop it. And I think I kinda like you. Up against the wall, we don't need a title. Like the show, get a little bit, come a little close now, take it home on your camera phone, get a little bad, nigga watch me blow it down, yeah I said it, yeah I said it babe, yeah I said it.
In the room we were just in where it was playing, there's so much bass that things were like rattling around, which is my favorite. Like there's just lots of experience to have in that song.
I feel like that modern day, listen, if they ever do a part 3 of Dirty Dancing, that song's going to be in it.
It got to be in there.
You know what I mean?
Some kind of a pond scene with that song playing.
Ooh. Can I point out really quickly, this laptop that we're fucking with is,
Rachel Reynolds,
who's an amazing producer. Yeah. And I gotta say, Rachel, it's been so hard for me not to click on the folder that says yoga songs.
Uh-oh.
This whole fucking time.
Let's just take a quick look
and just see what Rachel yoga's
we
to.
We could go deep here.
What if it's like NWA? That would be amazing.
That's amazing. It's all like kind of insane, like death metal that doesn't make sense.
It's
of how
insane.
It's performed.
Clown posse.
It's just, she's like, it's how I zen out.
Yeah. Listen.
Look, it's my computer. Yoga songs.
Oh, I love it. Oh, there's one that says mom too.
This is an invasion of privacy.
I know. I'm so sorry.
If it was mine, I don't even know it would be on there.
Oh, it'd be a mess. Ugh. Mine would just be audiobooks for days.
You know what mine would be? I have all these playlists, but they're titled by whatever I was doing the moment I was making the playlist.
Like what?
So they don't help me in any way. The top one now I have is Rocktober, which is like nothing on it is rock. Like it's not a good system of planning. And it's all just kind of random, like, oh, here's it's always like 7 songs. They're never long enough. I start making it, and then I'm like, I have stuff to do. I have to get out of here. And so then it's like, you know.
But what would you put on? Like, what do you, September 2016? Plus, it's like, then you listen to it once, and then when you go back to listen to it a month later, you're like, oh, I had a crush on that guy when I was listening to that, and now
exactly.
I can't fucking listen to this anymore.
Then it becomes like a death playlist where you're like, don't go back to that. It'll bring you back to all
you
those awful feelings.
Name the folder of whatever guy you have a crush on at the time.
it's so true.
And then you never have to listen to it again.
There's one playlist I have where One Direction Steal My Girl is on there twice.
What
was happening? How old am I? And what's happening to me?
You doing okay that month? That month was a bad month.
I needed to bookend that musical experience of like, I'm just driving into Hollywood. It's not, calm down. It's like I'm going to be gone so long, I have to put it at the end to make sure I hear it again.
Well, I do have one final question, and that is Elvis the Cat.
That is a great question.
What is he like?
Are you sure that Elvis really wants a cookie?
Oh, but he's a fucking junkie.
Yeah.
He's a fucking junkie.
He'll come out of a dead sleep.
Yeah.
Like, she'll say it once, and there'll be a pause, and then he'll come out like, his eyes aren't all the way awake, but he's like...
And he runs and meows at the same time. So
yeah.
He's out of his fucking mind.
He knows his cue, though. I mean, thank God.
Yeah.
He closes that show, and every week he does
We can't record ever anywhere else, because we'll have to pre-record him meowing, and that's not authentic.
No.
Yeah, so...
And that's not us.
No. Thank you for asking about Elvis. It's all I ever want to talk about, truthfully.
And we don't actually have sort of an outro for the show, but I know you guys do, so perhaps you can send us out.
Oh well, just with the message that we want everybody to stay sexy.
And don't get murdered!
It's Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Harstock, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.